Hello and welcome to the Swiss Info Program. I'm Susan Masika. Have you ever tasted Alpine macaroni? Or a Bernese onion tart? Or how about Swiss chard dumplings? Those are just a few of the recipes that Andy Pilot discovered when she made the move to Switzerland. She's a chef and food blogger who grew up in Canada as a Swiss living abroad. Journalist Veronica DeVore met Andy in her kitchen in Switzerland's Emmental region, amid rolling hills and dairy farms.
So I grew up in Canada, in Calgary. My mom is Swiss, and we came back to visit my grandparents in Switzerland every year. We usually would stay for a month and go to the lake every day and go swimming, and that was sort of my experience with Switzerland, sort of, I guess, what a typical Swiss kid would do during the summer. But otherwise, living in Canada, my mom, you know, would make fondue, and it was mostly the food traditions that we kept rather than anything else.
Soon, Andy got more curious about those food traditions. Her Swiss mother's different way of doing things in the kitchen opened up new doors for her.
I always remember having grilled cheese sandwiches at a friend's house, and I thought, wow, this is great, this grilled cheese sandwich. I'm going to ask my mom to make me one when I got home. And at my friend's house, it had been two pieces of Wonder Bread and some processed cheese in the middle, and I said, Mom, can you make me a grilled cheese sandwich? And she said, sure, and she got out her rye bread, and she dipped it in white wine and put some Gruyere cheese on it. I thought, wow, this is quite something. And so her version of grilled cheese sort of won me over to Swiss food and European food, for sure.
When she grew up, Andy trained as a pastry chef in Canada. She then felt the pull of Europe and its long-standing pastry traditions, so her mother encouraged her to try living and working in Switzerland for a while. But despite her Swiss passport, it wasn't easy. She didn't really know the language, and she felt more like a tourist than anything else at first. And because she didn't have a Swiss education, jobs in bakeries didn't work out.
Definitely, it was so different being a tourist when you're a child to living day to day in the country. There were times, especially around getting a job and feeling secure financially and things like this, that was really scary for me. And I thought, oh no, please somebody hire me. And I think that was the biggest struggle.
Eventually, she started teaching English to make a living, but she kept coming back to food.
I really loved, when I first moved here, all of the seasonal things that you could cook or eat at restaurants throughout the year. I loved that you really got your asparagus at a fixed time every year, and you know, people went crazy about it, and that's when you had all your asparagus recipes, and in Canada you could just get asparagus all year round, and that was fine. Or like the first time having the wild teller, where you got you know, game and all the different side dishes to go with it. That was really great, and you only got it for a short period of time. So I was discovering all of these things that was really exciting to me, and that eventually led me to want to write about it and discover more.
Soon, she began collecting recipes. Then she needed a place to keep them all, so she started a blog called Helvetic Kitchen. It became more than just a website. Her quest for culinary inspiration also helped her find her place in Switzerland.
I felt much more integrated than I had, obviously. When I arrived, I had a better idea of the language also. I felt like I could communicate to people. And I have to say, writing a lot about food and learning about the food customs just helped that even more. I mean, it was such a great topic to talk to people about. People have such strong opinions about it. Everybody wants to share their family's recipe, which is really nice. I felt that talking to friends, but also when I was an English teacher, talking to students about what the food customs were in their family from their region, things like this. So I think I felt more integrated, but as time goes on, I feel more and more that this contributes to that as well.
Once Andy had enough recipes, she wondered whether she could turn them into a book. She approached several publishers, and a cookbook version of her blog came out in December 2017. Each recipe has a story to go with it. For example, her sausage salad recipe explains how in 2008, mad cow disease in Brazil prevented the Swiss from importing the intestines used as casings for the nation's favorite sausage, the servola. And in her recipe for a boozy dessert, there's also the story of a drunkard who killed his wife and their two children in 1905 after the wife refused to polish his shoes. Because the man had been drinking heavily that day, including two glasses of absinthe, The potent spirit was banned until 2005. How does Andy find these stories and the recipes that go with them?
I start online usually. I look it up in the Culinarisches Erbe. So there's a huge database of lots of recipes or food products that you can find in Switzerland. I try to look it up there. I see if there's a recipe in Tip Top. I see how Betty Bossi makes it. I sort of go through the list of all of the main Swiss resources for pastry and things like that. There's a few sort of standard Swiss cookbooks, Elizabeth Fulcher and Marianne Kaltenbach. I see how they've made this recipe over the years. And then I just have a collection of old cookbooks, and I try to look up the recipe everywhere. And I kind of take them all together, and sometimes I'll make one recipe from this person and one recipe from that person, and I'll see how they differ and how I can sort of make it what to me and to a modern cook would make the most sense, is the easiest to do. And then I kind of put it together. Sometimes my family gets sick of having the same meal or dessert over and over again, but yeah.
When Andy travels around Switzerland, she also goes looking for a few versions of the same dish, like Graubünden's Kapuns, which are dumplings made with Swiss chard. That way she can compare and come up with her own twist on authentic recipes. Is she afraid of running out of material in Switzerland? Not really.
I think it's such an interesting place and so different from coming from a place like Canada, where there's a big culture that's spread across a big country, and here there's all these little pockets of different traditions and customs and language in such a small, compact place. And the idea that all of these places sort of manage to exist together kind of harmoniously in such a small area is really wonderful.
That was Swiss-Canadian chef and cookbook author Andy Pilot, who recently shared her story with my colleague Veronica DeVore. Visit us at swissinfo.ch to read more about this story and to get a recipe for macaroni and cheese from Glarus. And coming soon, we'll have more stories and recipes from others who have integrated in Switzerland thanks to food. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Donnie Wheeler. I'm Susan Masika.